We're going to continue in our series this morning, Heart Connections, and we're learning biblical principles that will help us connect on the family level, on a heart level, bonding our hearts together and turning our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jimmy, a little four-year-old boy, was asking his mom a series of questions. He said, "Mom, where do babies come from?" And at four, she just gave him the story of the stork. He said, "Okay, well then, who keeps people, the bad guys, from robbing our house?" And his mom told him about police officers. And he said, "Well, if our house catches fire, then who saves us?" And she told him about firefighters. And he said, "Well, Mom, where does the food come from that we eat?" And she taught him about farmers. And then he said, "Mom," and she said, "Yes, Johnny." And he said, "What do we need daddy for?" And he was still trying to kind of put it all together. And you know what? Daddies are needed for a great number of things. But as we go to today's lesson, I believe that while it's applicable to all spouses and parents, today's lesson has a special emphasis on the role of dad. And I want to make sure to drive that home throughout the course of this lesson. As we talk today about guiding our children. Guiding our children. How do we, according to the Word of God, provide the guidance to our children that they need? Notice in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 4 in your notes, "Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth." My father, who are you? The guide of my youth. Job, when he was protesting his integrity and his purity in front of his friends, he talked about how he cared for a fatherless girl. And notice the description in the verse I put in your notes in Job 31:18. "For from my youth he was brought up with me, and as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb." So providing this role of father in the absence of her biological father, but what did that mean? It meant guidance, Job said. Solomon said in Proverbs 23:19, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." Now, as parents, we wear many hats, right? It's incredible in a given week how many hats you might wear, from nurse to taxi driver to homework excellente to chef to maid to encourager to corrector to whatever. I mean, on and on and on and on the list goes. Many hats indeed that parents will wear, but the title that God has given us in the Scripture is that of a guide. And I would submit to all of us this morning that no one needs a guide more than a youth. A child is in need of a guide. Have you ever observed a child that had no guidance? Have you ever been to a restaurant and watched a family try to partake of a meal with a child at the table who had never been taught how to sit at a table and eat a meal? It's sad and humorous all at the same time, because the entire world revolves around that four-year-old child who's never been taught how to behave, who's never been guided. And as they get older, it gets more sad and more difficult. And a child is in desperate need of a guide. Listen, God's design is that boy meet girl, boy and girl fall in love, boy marries girl and commits to the relationship. In the relationship of marriage, God blesses this couple with children. Mom and dad are the parents. The kids are the children. Mom and dad are in authority. They are in charge. They tell the kids what to do. They train them and they guide them and they prepare them for a lifelong relationship with God. Now, I know some of what I just said is old-fashioned, but it's all from the Word of God and it works. And it's God's plan. And you and I are to be the guides of our children, providing a pattern that they can follow after and investing in their life. Now, there's a concept I want us to grab a hold of that I think we'll understand this. And that's why I had you turn to Psalms 127. We look at that passage, Psalms chapter 127. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 4. "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. It's a short verse, but it's a powerful thought. If you're looking at it there in the scripture, or maybe share it with someone next to you, Psalm 127, verse 4, and let's read that together as a class. Ready, begin. As arrows are in the hand, so are the children. So as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And so God says, listen, as children are given to mom and dad, and a child is a blessing of the Lord, it's a heritage of the Lord, it's a gift from the Lord, right? As then the parents take the children, they guide them, they train them, they mold them, they develop them, they help them along the way, it is like the arrow in the hand of a mighty man. Now, when you take an arrow and you put it in a bow, the arrow has no propulsion on its own, okay? This arrow traveling at a very high speed could do some damage, right? It could kill someone. It could kill an animal. But without propulsion, it's not going to do anything. And so God says, I've given the arrows, I've given the children into the hands of the mighty men, the mothers and fathers in the room. And it is their job to provide the propulsion that will send that child on their way. So it is our job as moms and dads to provide the propulsion necessary for that child to go forward. Now think about a couple of things here. When in the life of a mom and dad, we are preparing our children the arrows for their future, maybe imagining a target on that wall, as we are providing the propulsion, the energy that's going to send them. Don't worry, I'm not going to send this into the wall, okay? I've got a good grip on it. Don't plan to hit anybody with it either, Lord willing. Some of you looked a little nervous out there, like, don't point that at me, Brother Roll. Hey, I'm just trying to keep you awake. A cold room and a cocked bow and arrow will do the work. So don't fall asleep in it. Okay. Now, as I do this, the Bible says it is the responsibility of the mighty man. The arrow is not going to propel itself. So I have work to do in the readiness and in the propulsion of this arrow. But then stop and think for a moment. And everybody in this room understands this, that when I release this arrow, if I am off just slightly at the moment of release, will greatly determine where on the target the arrow is placed. And if I'm way off at release, the arrow's not even going to hit the target. Instead of the wall, it's going to be the curtain or whatever the case may be. And the illustration for all of us as dads and moms is this. If God has blessed you with children, they are arrows in your hands. But where they go, how far they go, and how close they reach the will of God for their life is also in your hands. That's the responsibility of arrows in the hand of a mighty man. What a gift, what incredible potential, but what awesome responsibility. And so you and I want to recognize, Lord, thank you for the gift of our children. Help us to recognize the potential that is given in this gift, but the awesome responsibility to make sure that we are propelling them forward. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, when you and I think of this in this illustration of the hunter, the mighty man of the arrow, we are forced to come face to face once again with our responsibility. We are to draw the bow. We are to aim. We are to release with the right technique and timing and follow through. There's much to be done as you think about the mighty man if the arrow is going to reach its target. And the blessing is, if we do our job right, then the arrow with very small margin for error is going to reach its target, and that process can be repeated over and over again. You only get to launch the arrow or the child once. But I mean, if God's given you more than one, success can be there every time if we do it according to the will of the Lord. You say, Brother Roy, okay, that all sounds good, but what about the free will of my child? I mean, God's given them to me. They're in the hand of the mighty man, but when I let that go and I see God's will for them according to God's word, what's to ensure it's going to get there? How does their free will factor into this? I put a bevy of verses in your outline, so look at them with me quickly. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Every parent to that said amen. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:14 teaches us that the rod shall deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 29:15 says the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And again in Proverbs 23:24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. And so, yes, a child has their own will, and they were born a sinner. They have a flesh that they are contending with, but God has given you and I as a father and a mother to them in their life during those years to properly guide them to say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit and to head in the direction that God has created them for. A guide is one who is in authority but prefers influence. Let me say that again. A guide is one who is in authority. And every mom and dad in this room, you are in authority. But our preference should be influence. In other words, I'm not coming into the life of my child from this platform of, I am your father, you do what I say. If I have to keep reminding them of that, something's off. Because that should be an understood relationship. What I desire is influence. I want to be the chief influencer in the hearts and minds of my children. When it comes to whether or not their life reaches its destination for the honor and glory of the Lord, I want the guiding principle behind that to be mostly me. In my context, my wife and I in our relationship with the Lord, right? The interwovency of our home. In other words, I'm thankful for the Christian school. I'm thankful for Lancaster Baptist Church. I'm thankful for the Sunday school teacher. Think about Brother Roscalo this morning teaching Joseph the Word of God. Mrs. Tanner right now, Jesse Tanner, whose husband's in heaven, teaching Lydia right now the Word of God. I'm thankful for that. I truly am. But I'm not counting on that. In other words, that's not what's getting the arrow to its destination. That's my job. That's your job. And we want to be the chief influencers in this way. So, with that as the backdrop, these arrows in the hand of a mighty man, the responsibility to guide the youth, how do we do that? Can I give you some practical, simple thoughts this morning that will help you and I in the guiding of our children? Number one, we can guide them by acknowledging the things your child is or does well. How do we guide the children that God has given to us? By acknowledging who they are and what they do well. Now, what are children? Well, the Bible says in Psalms 127:3 in your notes, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. You say, Gabe, you mean the kids that share my home are a reward from God? Yes. They are a reward from God. They are a gift. They are the heritage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to recognize our children as such. They are a gift from God. They are special. They are unique. And God has something in store for their future. We want to know this and we want to express it. Who is our child? What makes them unique and special? And what do they do well? And we need to know that. And then they need to know we know it. It's very important that our children know that we feel of them that they are God's gift to us. That they have all the potential in the world to do something great for God, and that we believe in them. When's the last time you've sat your child down and reminded them how grateful you are for them because they are God's gift to you? And that their potential is hard to even fathom when they will live for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to guide them, we have to acknowledge who they are and what they do well. Number two, then we need to verbally express our pride to them. How do we guide them? By verbally expressing our pride to them. The Bible says in Matthew 17, 5, "Yet while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Here was the Lord Jesus Christ pausing all of heaven and saying, "Hey, that's my Son, Jesus Christ, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now it's imperative that we love our children. We've talked about that. We'll talk about it again. But in addition to that, it is important that you and I are genuinely proud of our children. Our children are created in desperate need of our approval. God was providing that when he said, "In whom I am well pleased." Our children need our respect. The Lord provided that when he said, "Hear ye him." And our children are made in the image of God in the need of our approval and our respect. Now, we want to be sure that these are communicated to our children in the right way. They feel worthy when they feel important to you and I. No child is going to develop well emotionally constantly living in the shadow of our disappointment. Okay? That doesn't work. Now, will our children disappoint us? Yes. Do we disappoint our spouse? Yes. Do we disappoint ourselves? Yes. Do we disappoint the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to confess it, forsake it, and move on, right? So there's going to be times of disappointment. We have to recognize that and we have to work through that. But we don't want our children growing up in an environment where they are constantly a disappointment. How would you like to go to work every day in an environment where you were the disappointment, where you were the loser? You wouldn't want to go there. I deal with this sometimes in marriage counseling. I'll sit down with a couple and they'll begin to talk about their marriage and it's not good, it's not happy, it's rocky. And we'll begin to kind of dig and discover why. And one of the reasons sometimes is because they both just feel like they're nothing but a disappointment to the other. Every time they see each other, mistakes are reminded. Hard times are brought back up. It's just conflict, 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 conflict. And they've just decided the only way to deal with it is never be together. And they've just created a life where they are together as little as is humanly possible and still be husband and wife. And that's the wrong solution. But you understand how someone in carnal thinking could get to that point if they feel like, "I am nothing but a disappointment." So it's important that you and I recognize we need to verbally express our pride to our children in what God is doing in and through their life. In his book, The 1 Minute Manager, Kenneth Blanchard recommends developing the practice of a 1 minute praising. Now listen to this for just a minute. Where the manager or the parent or the spouse tries to catch someone doing something right, then spend a full 60 seconds praising that person for the good deed. Now, this is a lot more difficult than it appears, where we might not find it difficult to criticize someone for 60 seconds or even sometimes 60 minutes. Many times we find it almost impossible to praise someone sincerely for the full duration of a minute. Try it this week. Make it your mission this Memorial Day week. Everyone in your family, your spouse, and your children, if God's blessed you with that at this stage, everyone in your family and your sphere of influence, make it your mission this week. You're going to find them doing something good, and you are going to take a full 60 seconds to express your appreciation and admiration for who they are and what they're doing. And make it a mission. Have fun with it. But express that to them. Our praise must be more about being proud of them and what we see happening in their life than maybe just the talent that God has given to them. And what I mean by that is we want to praise in our children the choices they are making and the virtues they are developing more than just what God gave them. And let me give an illustration of that. You could compliment your daughter for her outer beauty, but she didn't choose that. God gave that to her. Or you can praise your daughter for her inner beauty, something that she has worked to cultivate. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking at your daughter and saying, "Sarah, you look beautiful." In fact, every dad, let me encourage you, that should be an oft-expressed sentiment, okay? I want Mariah, Lydia, and Annalene to know their dad thinks they are drop-dead gorgeous. Beautiful. I mean, just wow. I can't believe it. Why? Because I want their heart. I don't want some weird 15, 16-year-old jerk to be the guy expressing to them, "Hey, you're pretty," and then be like, "I've never heard that before." Not happening. Not happening. That guy's going to put his running shoes on and run so stinking hard to catch up, he's going to have a long way to go. And that's the plan. Maybe when they're 35, we'll see. I haven't quite settled on it yet. I'm still praying about it. But man, I am depositing right now in that area. Why? Because it's important. So I'm not taking away from that. I think that's important. But there's something far more important. And those are the choices they're making and the virtues they're developing. And I need to recognize that as the mighty man. And I need to express the appreciation for the things they're doing well. Thirdly, how do we guide them? By working with them so they can succeed and feel worthy of our pride. When you and I express that we are proud of them for being things they know they are not, it does more harm than good. So yes, we want to verbally express this appreciation and this pride, but we want to be careful that it's not false praise. We want to help them actually develop these things and work with them. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 4, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up and nurture in the admonition of the Lord." It hurts them when we are expressing to them things and building them up when it's truthfully not there. They know it on the inside, and it's doing more harm than good. So we need to be careful to develop those things where they ought to be. Number four, how do we guide them? By truly accepting how God made them. Accepting how God made them. Accepting the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given to them, even if they are different than our own. Sometimes Suzanne and I will look at one of our kids and something that was said or done, and we'll look at each other, and you know, I know what she's thinking, and she knows what I'm thinking. And we're both thinking, where did that come from? I mean, what in the world, you know? That isn't me, that isn't her. It's crazy. But you know what? God develops and creates every person uniquely. And God is going to give our children gifts, talents, and abilities or interest that are different than our own. And we need to accept how God has made them and thank God for who they are. They don't have to fit in our mold. They don't have to be just like us or love what we love or whatever. We have to accept the uniqueness that God has given to them. The Bible reminds us in Psalms 139:14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Our children are fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's thank God for that. Let's help them develop the gifts that God has given to them, even if they are different than our own. Number five, how can we guide them practically? By remembering special moments. By remembering special moments. If you want something of significance to last, then remember it and celebrate it. I'm going to give you two illustrations quickly. And you could run with this with hundreds of illustrations of your own. Let me give you two. These are ideas Suzanne and I got, and I don't think either one of them are original with us. Number one, celebrating spiritual birthdays. When our children have accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, we've made that a really big deal, but we've also made the date that it happened a really big deal. And every year when we come to that birthday, if you look it up, and Susanna could help you, I think it's on YouTube, but it's Patch the Pirate, and it's Happy Born Again Birthday. And it's a fun, catchy song about a spiritual birthday. And every four times a year now, on a spiritual birthday, we will go into that child's room with that song blaring really early in the morning and wake them up. And of course, they're kind of trying to figure out what planet they're on, you know. And we're all like, "Happy born again birthday," you know, it's great. And then Susanna's got some kind of a cupcake or a cake, and there's a candle lit, and we make a big thing of it. And then that day is dedicated to celebrating the decision that child made last year, 2 years ago, whatever the case may be. But we celebrate and make big of their spiritual birthday. Why? Because that's significant. And we want them, as much as they would remember about their birth and celebrating their life on their birthday, we want an equal celebration on their spiritual birthday. That's something we do that God has blessed. Something else that I've done, and I'm in the work of where we are in our parenting journey, is the gift and explanation of a purity ring. Now, I've had to do this twice, and I've got one more to go. This is a significant moment in the heart of a girl, and certainly boys as well. In our case, with our oldest, it's been girls so far, where the parents have a very serious and special conversation about who they are, about their purity, and about their commitment to the things of the Lord until marriage. I believe in abstinence. I don't think that boys and girls should be together physically or sexually in any way before marriage. I believe that's what the Bible teaches, and that's the goal of our home. And I've learned in life that you're not going to accomplish something you don't explain, so that at some point in the life of your children, you're going to have to explain that, see if they agree, and seek their commitment to be in partnership with you. What we've done is we've chosen to do that around or before their 13th birthday. We've gone to a nice restaurant. I've dressed up. The girl typically has dressed up. Susanna's been there. We have a nice meal. And then I explain what we're doing, the commitment that we're making, and I present a ring, and I put that ring on the third finger of the left hand where you'd put a wedding ring someday. And this symbolizes the commitment that she is making, that I am making with her for her purity. Now, this most recently happened for me with Lydia, and I sent Alex a picture this morning. If you guys could throw that up there real quick. This is me and Lydia. Now, Lydia said, "Dad, I would like to do this pose." And so we went outside from this restaurant, and Susanna took this picture, and this is me down on one knee with the ring and Lydia kind of gushing like, you know, here's this proposal from Dad. And just in her mind, that's how she wanted it to go down. And I said, absolutely, let's go do it. And we got a lot of pictures that night, and it was a very special moment. But I give you these illustrations of a spiritual birthday or a commitment to purity. And again, you could think of many, 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 many dozens and hundreds of more. But the important thing is, remember these special moments, make them special, and relive them as often as you can through pictures. Well, you know what a great family night to rural household is? Sitting down and going through pictures. We love it, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, remember that vacation 2 years ago, and remember that ministry opportunity, and remember that dinner with Dr. Sisk, and remember this, remember, I mean, it's just so many amazing memories just going back through and reliving. So remembering the special moments. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:7, the memory of the just is the blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Number six, how do we guide them? By not being cutting or critical. Now, everything that needs to be said can be said in a way that does not undo the praise we've already talked about. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. We guide them, yes, through instruction, and yes, sometimes through correction, but not through being critical or cutting. We've got to guard what we say. And for sake of time, let me just give you number seven. By declaring the virtues your child is, not just what they do. I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I will praise Susanna or my children, but it's really focused on what they just did. And sometimes I have to step back and look bigger picture and try to affirm and admire who they are. Let me give you some ideas of what I'm talking about here. Declaring the virtues your child is, not just what they do. What am I talking about here? How about a child who is a truth speaker? How about a child who is full of inner strength? How about courageous or compassionate or joyful or fun to be with? How about a leader with a strong ability to direct others towards a worthy goal? How about someone who is strong for weaker Christians? How about a child who possesses a heart for God? How about a child who you've discovered that their word can always be trusted? The Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. And it's important as we're guiding our children in their youth that we are discovering who they are in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and the development of reaching their potential, and that we are praising them, providing the guidance, instruction, and correction, the balance of that, but ultimately so that the arrow in the hand of a mighty man, when it is propelled forward, reaches its goal and makes its mark. And it's my prayer for my four kids, and I believe of every parent in this room, that the children God has blessed us with would accomplish the will that God created for them to do. And may the time that they are under our influence and in our home prepare them for just that. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word, and I pray that you'd help all of us to embrace the biblical truth of guidance. May we provide it in the lives of those you've given us to influence. And I pray that it would be used in a great way to strengthen our marriages and our homes. Thank you for your word, for our class. I pray that you bless the families, some getting some time tomorrow together, that you'd bless that. Help all of us to be growing daily in our relationship with you. And we'll praise and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.